Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Oh, so translation of this. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhakta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhakta Goswami, who are always engaged in chanting the holy name of Krishna and dancing. They are just like the ocean of love of God, and they are popular both with the gentle and with the ruffians because they are not envious of anyone. Whatever they do, they are all pleasing to everyone, and they are fully blessed by Lord Chaitanya. Thus they are engaged in missionary activities meant to deliver all the conditioned souls in the material universe. I offer my respectful obeisances, this verse 2. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhakta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhakta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. 3. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhakta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhakta Goswami, who are very much enriched in understanding of Lord Chaitanya, and who are thus expert in narrating his transcendental qualities. They can purify all conditioned souls from the reactions of their sinful activities by pouring upon them transcendental songs about Govinda. As such, they are very expert in increasing the limits of the ocean of transcendental bliss. And they are the saviors of the living entities from the devouring mouth of liberation. 4. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhakta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Gopal Bhakta Goswami, who kicked off all association of aristocracy as insignificant. In order to deliver the poor conditioned souls, they accepted loincloths, treating themselves as mendicants, but they are always merged in the ecstatic ocean of the gopis' love for Krishna, and bathe always and repeatedly in the waves of that ocean. 5. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhakta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhakta Goswami, who are always engaged in worshipping Radha Krishna in the transcendental land of Vrindavan, where there are beautiful trees full of fruits and flowers which have under their roots all valuable jewels. The Goswamis are perfectly competent to bestow upon the living entities the greatest boon of the goal of life. 6. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhakta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhakta Goswami, who are engaged in chanting the holy names of the Lord and bowing down in a scheduled measurement. In this way, they utilize their valuable lives, and in executing these devotional activities, they conquered over eating and sleeping and were always meek and humble, enchanted by remembering the transcendental qualities of the Lord. 7. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhakta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhakta Goswami, who are sometimes on the bank of the Radha Kunda lake or the shores of the Yamuna, and sometimes at Vanshivata. There they appear just like madmen in the full ecstasy of love for Krishna, exhibiting different transcendental symptoms in their bodies, and they were merged in the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. 8. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the 6 Goswamis, namely Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are chanting very loudly everywhere in Vrindavan, shouting, Queen of Vrindavan, Radharani, O Lalita, O son of Nanda Maharaj, where are you all now? Are you just on the hill of Govardhan? Or are you under the trees on the bank of the Yamuna? Where are you? These were their moves in executing Krishna consciousness. Kedaya Mahavivalo. That's not translated. It means they were in a mood of... How do you translate? Keda means like sadness or regret, greatly bewildered. They were... Last year, during the Mayapur festival, I held a seminar on the Srila Prabhupada's preface to the Nectar of Instruction. Was anyone present at that seminar? A few. And we don't have the CDs for that. Well, in that seminar, I covered in the first few days the first paragraph, and in the last day, all the rest of the paragraphs, to try and finish it up quickly. But I thought to go through it, the parts that I hadn't done, more slowly, and maybe we'll finish it in the next few days, and maybe not. Because every line and every word in Shastra and in the commentaries in Srila Prabhupada's books are full of unlimited depth, and to discuss them fully is not possible. So I'll read the whole preface first of all, and then I'll go on to the second paragraph, and we'll start from discussing these topics. And like most things we hear about in Krishna consciousness, there are many things which we may have heard before, but that is the beauty of Krishna consciousness, that we hear the same things and do the same things. It's not like in the material world, where it always has to be something new, always looking for something. They're always looking for something new because they never found Krishna. When you find Krishna, then one is fully satisfied. Until then, one's always searching. And we think we always need something new, because we don't realize there is one topic, one subject, which will fully satisfy us always. But not knowing that or finding that, we think that we have to go to new things each time, because each time we come across something new, what appears to be us to be new, it gives us some excitement that here I shall find something, some pleasure. But of course it always disappoints us, and then we go on to something new, but actually there's nothing new. We change bodies again and again and again, and think that we're experiencing variety. We think that we're getting new experiences, but it's the same chewing the chewed. So in spiritual life, we're also chewing the chewed. But it's not like material chewing the chewed, which is worn out. But the more the example is given there in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the chandan, the more the sandalwood, the more you rub it, the sweeter the smell becomes. So we'll read the preface again. It's worth reading again and again. This preface to the Nectar of Instruction is written, as all of Srila Prabhupada's works are, in very simple language. But since the first time I've read it, and I've read it many times since then, it's always struck me as being exceptionally profound. So, here we go. The Krishna consciousness movement is conducted under the supervision of Srila Rupa Goswami. The Gaudiya Vaishnavas, or Bengali Vaishnavas, are mostly followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of whom the six Goswamis of Vrindavan are direct disciples. Therefore, Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung, Rupa Raghunatha Pade Hoibe Akuti Kabe Hama Bujbo Shei Jugal Piriti. When I am eager to understand the literature given by the Goswamis, then I shall be able to understand the transcendental loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in order to bestow upon human society the benediction of the science of Krishna. The most exalted of all the activities of Lord Krishna are his pastimes of conjugal love with the gopis. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in the mood of Srimati Radharani, the best of the gopis. Therefore, to understand the mission of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and follow in his footsteps, one must very seriously follow in the footsteps of the six Goswamis, Sri Rup Sanatan Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jiva Gopal Bhatta, and Das Raghunath. Sri Rupa Goswami was the leader of all the Goswamis, and to guide our activities, he gave us this Upadeshamrita, the nectar of instruction, to follow. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left behind him the 8 verses known as Shikshashtaka, Rupa Goswami gave us Upadeshamrita so that we may become pure Vaishnavas. In all spiritual affairs, one's first duty is to control his mind and senses. Unless one controls his mind and senses, one cannot make any advancement in spiritual life. Everyone within this material world is engrossed in the modes of passion and ignorance. One must promote himself to the platform of goodness, Sattva-gun, by following the instructions of Rupa Goswami, and then everything concerning how to make further progress will be revealed. Advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. A follower of the Krishna consciousness movement should become a perfect Goswami. Vaishnavas are generally known as Goswamis. In Vrindavan, this is the title by which the director of each temple is known. One who wants to become a perfect devotee of Krishna must become a Goswami. Go means the senses, and Swami means the master. Unless one controls his senses and mind, one cannot become a Goswami. To achieve the highest success in life by becoming a Goswami, and then a pure devotee of the Lord, one must follow the instructions known as Upadeshamrita, which have been given by Srila Rupa Goswami. Srila Rupa Goswami has given many other books, such as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Vidagdha Madhava, and Lalita Madhava. But Upadeshamrita constitutes the first instructions for neophyte devotees. One should follow these instructions very strictly, then it will be easier to make one's life successful. Hare Krishna. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, September 20th, 1975, Vishwarup Mahotsav, Krishna Balaram Mandir, Raman Reti, Vrindavan, India. So the paragraph we can consider now is 2 sentences long. Sri Rupa Goswami was the leader of all the Goswamis. And to guide our activities, he gave us this Upadeshamrita, the nectar of instruction, to follow. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left behind him the 8 verses known as Shikshashtaka, Rupa Goswami gave us Upadeshamrita so that we may become pure Vaishnavas. Sri Upadeshamrita is a remarkable work inasmuch as it's only 11 verses long. And it starts at the beginning of, really the beginning of spiritual life. It means when one has made the decision that I want to be Krishna conscious, what should one do? It takes us from there to a platform which is higher than that of Lord Brahma or the residents of Vaikuntha. So it's from the very beginning to the very highest pinnacle, which is of course the highest pinnacle. That is the special contribution of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that is the meaning of being a Gauriya Vaishnava. That we, the process that we follow, that generally defines us as Gauriya Vaishnavas, the chanting, Sankirtan, emphasis on chanting. Any sampradaya is understood, it's differentiated from itself, from others, by its specific characteristics of its philosophy, its sambandha, abhideya, and prayojan, its philosophical understanding of the relationship of its members and, or the relationship of everything else, the relationship of everything with everything. It's called sambandha jnana. Abhideya, is the specific practice given by each sampradaya to attain the prayojan, what is perceived as the ultimate goal. So Gauriyas are generally known, or what we perceive are their practices, which in the Hare Krishna movement is best known, the devotees of the Krishna conscious movement are best known for chanting Hare Krishna. But this is all meant to lead to the prayojan, or the ultimate necessity, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to reveal, which is, as Srila Prabhupada writes here, the most exalted of all the activities of Lord Krishna are his pastimes of conjugal love with the gopis. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to reveal this. Jodi gorna hoito tobe ki hoito kaimane dharitam de radha mahima prema rasa shima jagate janatoke madhura brinda bipina madhuri pravesha chaturisha Varaja Jubati Bhavera Bhakati Shakati Hoitoka. This Vasu Ghosh, Vasudev Ghosh, one of the intimate followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has stated about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had not come, how could we have lived? The glories of Srimati Radharani, which are the ultimate limit of Prem Ras, who would have broadcast this to the world? The intimate and sweet exchanges within the groves of Vrindavan constitutes the essence or the pinnacle of all expertise. But the bhava bhakti, the emotional devotional service of the gopis of Vrindavan, who could have bestowed that, and who could have been qualified to understand that if it was not for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So this is obviously very exalted topics. Upadesha Amrita begins with controlling the mind and senses. And for most of us, or many of us, that seems to be the platform that we don't really get much beyond the first shloka for, you know, could be for many years, it seems we're not getting beyond this first shloka. But we should know that what is the goal that we're heading for, this, that we are meant to be serving. What is, are we just controlling our, trying to control our mind and senses like some yogis in a cave, so that they can attain liberation from material life? No. Controlling the mind and senses is not a goal in and of itself. That's only the beginning. We may think that's really difficult, but it's really only the beginning. And there's a lot further to go. And where to go is beyond our imagination. It seems almost fantastic. If we hear of the land of Vrindavan, if we approach descriptions of Krishna in Vrindavan with a hard-nosed empiric approach. Can you translate that into Russian? Probably not. Hard-nosed means, it means hard-headed, I suppose. Not inflexible, skeptical, skeptici, empiric, you must know that word. Every devotee should know that word. If you don't know, we're not in the Gaudiya Sampradaya coming from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, at least, if you don't know that word, because it's one of his favorite words for kicking on. The empiric approach, that means trying to understand everything through our sense perception. So if we try to understand Vrindavan, no, actually with the hard-headed empiric approach, there's no attempt to understand. You'll only dismiss immediately. This is not possible. Charming sweetness of Vrindavan, where Sugita Nartane Shabha Shakigane Tushiche Jugala Dhane, simply singing and dancing, gopis with Krishna, Radha and Krishna, it will sound to them like some fairy tale. And if we hear of the fairy tale, folk tale, you have in Russia your Baba Yaga, is it, or something like that? Yeah, it's some fantastic story. It seems unreal. So, and even to theistic persons, people who believe in God, they accept God, even if they accept Him as a person, which is pretty difficult for people in this material world, because they want the blessings of God without those who are supposedly theistic, they want the blessings of God without commitment to Him. So you can pray to Him and get His blessings, but if He's actually a person, then you have to surrender to Him. So they don't want that. So they kind of turn him on when they want to pray to Him, and turn Him off when they don't. So Even persons who are theistic, they naturally tend to think of God as the greatest being, which we're also trained to understand, because He is the greatest being. But these pastimes of Vrindavan, they are extremely secret. They're not actually meant for everybody. It's God's own private life. What He does when He's not being God, that's His own business. How He's playing with his friends and His family members and His girlfriends, especially His girlfriends are mentioned here, and especially mentioned throughout all the Gaudiya literature. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to present this. Now again, we're discussing very exalted topics here, and generally we find that Srila Prabhupada was very cautious about this. But he wasn't cautious to the extent of editing it out of existence. He could have given the first few shlokas of Upadeshamrita and not the last few shlokas and said, well, come back again next lifetime. It doesn't look like you're going to be ready this lifetime. He could have just given us the first shloka. That would have probably been enough for me for quite a few lifetimes. But he didn't. He gave the whole thing. And he gave the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, the whole Srimad Bhagavatam up to the 10th canto. In the Krishna book, he gave all of that. We have in our daily song, we daily pray in the prayers to Tulsi Devi. Shakir Anugato Karo, make me a follower of the Sakis, the intimate gopis of Vrindavan. So he gave us all of this. Rupa Goswami has given these topics in many books, as Srila Prabhupada mentions here, beginning with Vacho Vegam Manasakoda Vegam, controlling the mind and senses. So these are highly exalted topics. Rupa Goswami is described here as the leader of the six Goswamis. He wasn't the oldest in terms of Sanatana Goswami was his elder brother. But Rupa Goswami is considered the leader. Of course, when we hear this term in English, it's the term leader is fraught with our cultural baggage, which means our every word we tend to consider in terms of our cultural upbringing. So just like in Russia, the concept of a leader is different to what it is in Vedic culture. Or the concept of being a leader in the English-speaking world is different to that of in Vedic culture. In modern Western culture, a leader often means someone that we abuse, or that we try to avoid. Or leader means someone who tyrannically rules us. But a leader in Vedic culture means a superior who is to be respected and is loved, who acts as the benefactor of those he leads. So the concept of leadership is something different altogether. Just like when Srila Prabhupada was in Japan, he met with leaders of the Dai Nippon company who were printing, they were making a contract to print books for Srila Prabhupada, for printing Srila Prabhupada's books. After the meeting, the big leaders of Dai Nippon Company left, and they left a young executive of the company to continue hosting Srila Prabhupada and his disciples. So Srila Prabhupada started preaching to the man, the young man, young executive, and he asked the man, "What is your goal of life?" So the man, instead of verbally answering, picked up all the business cards of the leaders, which was left on the table at the seats where the people had been sitting. He gathered them all up and put them in order. The chief executive's card on top, and then the deputy chief executive's next, and put them in order with his in its, with the junior executive's card in its position at the bottom. And then he took his own card from the bottom and put it on top. This is my goal of life, to demonstrate this. So that's the idea. I shall climb up and push others down and become a leader and dominate and be respected. But Rupa Goswami, being the leader of the six Goswamis, means that he is the, we've heard this phrase, we hear it in ISKCON sometimes, the leader servant. Because the actual leader of everyone is Krishna. And Krishna is to be served by everyone. And Radharani is Vrindavaneshwar. She is the queen of Vrindavan because she is the best servant of Krishna. That is her name. So everyone in Vrindavan serves Radharani. So Rupa Goswami is the leader of the six Goswamis because he is the most, in his position within Krishna Leela, he is the most intimate servant of Srimati Radharani. What the six Goswamis are doing in collecting the different scriptures and explaining them, this is to be understood in relation to their whole role. What are they? What is Chaitanya Leela? What is their role in that? Their role is to be servants. They're always servants. All the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are his servants. All the devotees of Krishna are his servants. But they serve him in a different way. Krishna, he is Rasaraj. He is the king of enjoyment. When he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is in a different role. He comes to personally relish the feelings of Srimati Radharani. When Krishna sees Radharani, she is enjoying more than me. I am the supreme enjoyer, but by serving me, she is enjoying more than I am enjoying. So Krishna, he wants to experience the happiness that Radharani experiences in serving him, serving Krishna. Therefore, he takes the role of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to do so. The gopis in Krishna Leela assist Radha and Krishna in performing their pastimes. And they come again in Chaitanya Leela to assist Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in relishing the role of Radharani. And also, Radharani being the leader of all the devotees. She is the leader because she is the best servant. So, being the leader, she wishes well for all her followers. She wants to see all her followers happy in serving. So she arranges for them, let them be with Krishna. Or she wants to see that they're fully engaged and fully happy and give them opportunities to serve Krishna. So she is more liberal than Krishna. She's more merciful than Krishna. Krishna is most merciful. He loves all living beings. But his non-different potency, who is Radharani, she is more compassionate in the sense that she directly engages everyone, or she wants to engage everyone in Krishna's service. Mahatma nastu mang partha daiving prakritim ashritaha. Srila Prabhupada explained this verse that the great persons, they are under the shelter of the divine energy. So that divine energy is Radharani. And she engages, she wants to see that everyone is engaged in the service of Krishna. She wants to see that Krishna is fully happy. Of course, Krishna is always fully happy, but there's no limit to the possibility of his happiness. So she wants to, even more than Krishna, she wants to see that all living beings are engaged in Krishna's service. So when Krishna comes as Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then he is Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam. He is overcome, his black features, Shamasunda, are overcome with the goldenness of Radharani and her mood. He is Krishna in the mood of Radharani. And he comes into this material world to exhibit these pastimes, and along with personally tasting his own sweetness and the happiness that Radharani feels in serving Krishna, he also, in this avatar, like all avatars, he comes for the benefit of all living beings in this material world. But the benefit that he bestows in this avatar is far more than any other avatars bestow, because he's bestowing the highest level of love of Krishna. So Radharani is most merciful, and she wants to see that everyone is engaged in Krishna's service. She's very liberal. So she wants everyone to come, and without making it very difficult for everyone to come, she, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is Mahavadanya Avatar, the most merciful avatar, because he gives the very highest thing which is not normally available even to Brahma and Shiva. Even great demigods like Brahma and Shiva, they respect the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, and they're not on the same level as the pure devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They can only aspire to reach that level. They themselves have to bow down before these persons. So Rupa Goswami, he is the leader of those engaged in the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is in Krishna's pastimes. He's also Rupa. It's known as Rupa Manjari. who is the most intimate of Radha's servants. Of course, generally we hear that Lalita and Vishakha and the other Ashtashakhi, the Sakhis, are the most intimate. So they are. They're always with Radha, the Ashtashakhis, they're followers of Radha. The eight principal gopis are followers of Radha. And Lalita and Vishakha in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela come as Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai, who personally were with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as he relished constantly, especially in the last 12 years of his pastimes in the Gambhira, in Puri. They were constantly assisting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his ecstasy of separation from Krishna. But in another way, the Manjaris, they're another class of gopi, they are very intimate in another way with Radha, because it's said that which services Radha will hesitate to ask Lalita and Vishakha to do, because they're more or less the same age as her, they're her friends. But the Manjaris who are very small little girls, then Radharani will order them, you do this. So they're very intimate in the sense that they're completely trusted, confident, there's no hesitation in how Radha treats them. And of course these are extremely exalted topics. But that such gopis, extremely exalted, so exalted, not even in the Vedas, we don't find descriptions of, we don't find the Rup Manjari Upanishad or any such things. And people say, why is it not in the Upanishads? Well, we won't tell this publicly to people, but the actual reason is that the Upanishads, they're not, they didn't reach that level. That it's, people think the Upanishads are the topmost scriptures, but the Upanishads are praying that we can enter into these topics. Then they're nirvishesh gyan, jogiradheya nirvishesh gyan, ekani napai stiti. This Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that the knowledge of the impersonalists and the meditation of the yogis has no place in what the gopis are doing. It just doesn't reach that far. So these are extremely exalted topics. And who is to understand them? Shakati hoito ka. Who has the power to give that? Who has the power to receive that? If it's beyond even the Vedas, and beyond even the, beyond Brahma and Shiva, then how is it possible that this is going to be understood? Krishna's intimate pastimes, which in the most exalted Paramahamsa Sanghita Srimad Bhagavatam is described, the topics of Krishna with the gopis, but even there, it's not described in very much detail. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, as we have it, as we know it, it's practically only hinted at. Some description is there. Rasleela, that's highly intimate. Brahma Gita, the prayers of Radharani, not prayers exactly, statements. So exalted topics are there, but they're not elaborated upon. There are reasons for that. When Sukadeva Goswami was speaking to Parikshit Maharaj, many persons in the audience, they were not actually fit to hear this. And they were exalted munis and rishis from all over the universe. So it is a highly exalted topic. Who can understand? It's not meant for public consumption. It's not meant for broadcasting everywhere. But on the other hand, if it's not broadcast, then how will anyone ever understand it? How will anyone ever enter into that? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he comes with his devotees, and they come in a manner that is far less likely to be misunderstood than in Krishna Leela himself. And we find in the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada has translated some very intimate passages, that Krishna walks up to Radharani and starts painting designs on her breasts. And there's not much description like this in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, but there is much more in other books of the Goswamis, very intimate topics. And practically the whole Gaudiya literature, or the whole of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's intimate pastimes and his intimate feelings, they are based on descriptions in Gita Govinda by Jayadev Goswami and the works of Chandidas, Bhavabhuti, Rai Ramananda's Jagannath Vallabh Natak, extremely intimate descriptions which appear to mundaners to be erotic. So these are highly intimate topics which naturally is misunderstood by almost everyone who approaches them, because almost everyone doesn't go through the process given by Rupa Goswami, which is, first of all, one has to start with controlling the mind and senses. And there's a lot of other things to do before one gets to the standard of Rupa Raghunatha Pade Hoibe Akuti, which Srila Prabhupada translates as, when will I be eager to read the books of the Goswamis? One has to go through various stages. But in the very beginning, everyone misunderstands. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he comes and he demonstrates how to approach this highly exalted topics of while he's personally relishing the topics of Radha and Krishna, he's also acting as an acharya in showing us how to approach this. And even more so, his followers, especially the six Goswamis, they act as acharyas, persons who teach by their example and by their writings and by their instructions how to approach this. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was acting as an acharya, but principally his leela, from his own perspective, is one of Radha searching for Krishna. And that is madness. It is beyond any scriptural injunction. So when we say madness, of course, we should understand this term. It's not madness like a clinical condition of a person insane in a mundane sense, but here, as in the description of the six Goswamis, Premon Madhava Shada Shesha Dashaya Grasto Pramatto Sada. So twice in this line, Unmada Pramatta, means madness. But that is Premon Mad, that is the madness of love of Krishna. So the six Goswamis were personally relishing this, but at the same time, they were, while they were fully absorbed in the topmost divine ecstasies of transcendental madness, they were also nana shastra vichara naika nipano sadharma samsthapako. They were also going through all the different Vedic literatures and finding the points which Vyasadeva had left embedded here and there, just like people go searching for gold, and there's, when they go panning for gold in the rivers or in the mines, there are so many other things which aren't gold. But when they find the gold, they say, all right, this is gold. This is what we're looking for. So Rupa Goswami and all the Goswamis, they're looking through all the Shastras, which all point all the Shastras, every verse and every word all point to Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, but some do so more directly than others. Some explicitly do so, and others do so in a more roundabout way or less obvious way. So they were living the lives of devotees, how to live as a devotee. To attain that topmost goal, they expanded the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. They gave more detail. That which was not previously recorded, just like here Srila Prabhupada mentions two of the works of Rupa Goswami. Three, Lalita Madhav, Vidagdha Madhav, and Dana Keli Komadi is the other one he mentions. No, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So, in these books, they give so many details of Radha and pastimes, which they're not in Srimad Bhagavatam, they're not in Harivamsa, they're not in Mahabharata. And they wonder, well, why aren't they in these books? Well, they're not in these books because that wasn't... Those books only give an indication of that. Or Srimad Bhagavatam not only gives an indication, but gives the whole... gives the whole storyline, but many of the details are there to be filled in. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers, they act in a way which is accessible to people of this world. If we tell people of this world that now we are to enter the Ras Leela, and even if they have any faith in that, unless they have proper guidance, they're not going to know how to do it. That's why we find there are so many what are called upper sampradayas. They think, oh, now I have to become a gopi. All right, where's my sari? A man will put on a sari and speak in a high-pitched voice. Now I have to become a gopi. There are such upper sampradayas, as they're called. They mistakenly approach. They don't know the proper method to approach. So it seems to them that now I have to serve Krishna as a gopi. They didn't understand the difference between spiritual and material. They didn't understand that to approach Krishna, it doesn't depend on changing. It's not that one can simply change one's dress and put on a sari and become a gopi, but one has to cultivate the service mood, which the six Goswamis, they teach that by acting as devotees on this plane. They show how to act on this plane in this world and cultivate internally service to Radha and Krishna on the spiritual plane. So all the six Goswamis did this. And the books of the six Goswamis, it's generally called Goswami literature. So that means the works of the six Goswamis. And also broadly included in that are the works of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and also the works of Kavi Karnapur, and even later those of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. They are our genre of literature. It's a certain class of literature which all serves the same purpose. So Rupa Goswami, he's known as the Rasa Acharya, or sometimes as the Bhakti Abhideya Acharya. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami is known as the Gaurya Smriti Acharya. So each of the Goswamis gave different works which deal with different aspects or angles of the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but it's all to serve the same purpose. Nevertheless, Rupa Goswami is called the leader. Here Srila Prabhupada has written of him as the leader. All this discussion is to come back to this point, that Rupa Goswami is the leader. So he's the leader of the followers of the six Goswamis. Sorry, the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Gauriyas, the Gauriya Vaishnavas are known as Rupanugas. the Mandal, I was discussing this last year, the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they're not known as Chaitanya Anugas, or sometimes mundane scholars refer to Chaitanyaites or Chaitanya Vaishnavas. But the term which Gauriyas themselves adopt is Gauriya, is one term, and another is Rupanuga. Because the Gauriyas, they mostly aspire for, not only, but each individual person has a personal individual relationship with Krishna, and in various sampradayas they cultivate bhakti to Krishna in various moods. The Gauriyas, they cultivate Vraja Bhakti, specifically most of them are aiming at the service of Radha and Krishna as gopis in Manjari Bhav. That is the specific goal of most of the Gauriyas. Although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has had followers who were not specifically aiming for that, and there have been within the Gauriya school various strands, but the sampradaya or the sampradaya or the branch of the Gauriya sampradaya that we are coming in comes down through, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has traced our parampara through Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Narottam Das Thakur. And Narottam, he's well known, his Sri Rupa Manjari Pada, Shri Maurisham Pada, he defined the goal of his life as the service to Sri Rupa. Here, Sri Rupa is understood as Sri Rupa Goswami and Sri Rupa Manjari. Elsewhere, Narottam Das has sung, Kobe Lokanath More Shongiloya Jabe Sri Rupa Pada Padme More Shamarpibe. That when will my Guru, Lokanath Goswami, take me and offer me in service to Rupa? Narottam Das has sung many songs later on, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also, describing his desire to enter Vrindavan, to give up his identification as a male and to take on the form of a female. Now this may seem very strange to anyone who's not trained in this understanding, but that means that they find that form is the most suitable to serve. If one has a desire to serve Krishna in the most, with the fullest capacity possible, then one will aspire for this. That Krishna cannot be happy without Radharani. So Radharani, to serve Radharani and assist Radha and Krishna in their service, in their service to each other, that is the topmost possible aspiration. And that can be best done in a female form. So these are we find sometimes the term ati nigura means extremely confidential, extremely deep. But these points are to be understood if we are to be followers of Rupa Goswami. Following Rupa Goswami means to follow, beginning from Vacho Vegam Manasakoda Vegam, to this Varaja Jubati Bhavera Bhakati, the intimate, ecstatic devotion of the gopis for Krishna. So Rupa Goswami is the leader in Krishna Leela of the, he's the leader of the Manjaris, the young girl gopis. Young means they're some years younger than Radha and Lalita and Vishakha. So they have a very intimate dealing. So they And Rupa Manjari is specifically that. She's the closest to Radharani, so she's the leader. And on this plane, Rupa Goswami is the leader of the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in broadcasting his message, because Basu Ghosh is saying that who has revealed these topics? Who can reveal these topics? The love of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, who has the power to do that? Only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't do that. Personally, although he came to broadcast these topics, he didn't personally do it. And even his own followers, it appears from the narrations of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, that even his own followers, apparently they were not aware of some of the inner ecstasies of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or their purport. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the whole of his Leela, especially the last 12 years, were in the mood of Radha. He was in the mood of Radha experiencing Krishna's separation, especially in Kurukshetra, where Radha met Krishna. She met him, but after so long desiring to see him, after losing him, she met him. And then she got him, but it was just after waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and now at last I got Krishna. Sheto Purana Tapainu Jaha Lagi Madana Dahana Jurigenu. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would chant this. That at last I was burning in the fire of Cupid, and at last I attained that person, Krishna. At last I got him back. But she still wasn't satisfied. I got him, but I didn't get him, because this is not Krishna. This is not my Krishna. This is some Krishna. This is not my Krishna. My Krishna doesn't have horses and soldiers and shoes, and he doesn't wear shoes, and he has cows, not horses. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the mood of Radharani wanting to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan. And it's also stated that he was in the mood of Radha when Uddhav came to visit Vrindavan. That Uddhav's visit to Vrindavan was supposed to pacify the Vrajvasis by bringing Krishna's message to them, and especially the gopis. But it just made Radha's separation from, her feelings of separation from Krishna, burn all the worse, or better, whichever way you want to do it. It has taken both ways. It's worse and it's better. In the spiritual world, everything worse is better, and everything better is better. So the worse it gets, the better it becomes. And that's also not understanding. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was experiencing these feelings and burning in the fire of separation. But Swarup Damodar especially, he understood. Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy, they understood this. And specifically, Swarup Damodar, who is Lalita, he understood this, but it was a private affair. But Rupa Goswami, he also understood it. And he revealed it within his writings. So therefore we pray, Sri Chaitanya Manobhisham Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam. That we pray to Rupa Goswami, when will I attain shelter at the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami? Because it was he who has revealed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's inner wishes, which otherwise wasn't being revealed. That was later revealed in detail in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Rupa Goswami, he begins his Vidagdha Madhav drama, and that's also one of the verses in the Mangalacharan, the the Ashivad Shloka, verse giving blessing to the readers, that Anarpite Chirin Chirad Karunyavatir no Kalo Samapyatam and Utajvala Rasas Prabhakti Shriya. Hari Purita Sundra Duty Kadamba Sandipita Sadahidya Kandare Spuritu Vashachinandana. Rupa Goswami blesses his readers, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami takes that verse to bless his readers of Chaitanya Charitamrita also. That may Shachinandana, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, exist or be manifest resplendently within your heart. He has come to reveal that which was not revealed before. Out of his mercy he has appeared. He has descended in Kali Yuga to bestow upon human society that which was not bestowed before. The bhakti on this, the bhakti to himself, who is Radha and Krishna. So Rupa Goswami bestowed this benediction. He revealed who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and what he has come to give. So he is the leader. All the six Goswamis, they wrote various books and they lived together, and they together they chanted Hare Krishna and they performed activities for the benefit of all conditioned souls. But Rupa Goswami led the way, in as much as he showed the direction. And anyway, so we are followers of Rupa Goswami. All the Gauriya Vaishnavas, they are followers of Rupa Goswami. Srila Rupa Goswami was the leader of all the Goswamis. So Srila Prabhupada goes on in the purport to say that all devotees have to become Goswamis. So here Goswami is here with a capital G. So it specifically means this, he was the leader of the six Goswamis. Or sometimes it's said that there are eight, if Lokanath Goswami, Ambhugaba Goswami, and there's all the devotees of Vrindavan are called, or all the Gauriya Vaishnavas are called Goswamis, but specifically these six Goswamis, for practically establishing Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam, the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this world. They specifically did this. Surup Damodar and Ramananda Rai, they were the most intimate in one sense, in that they were personally assisting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his personal ecstasies. But the six Goswamis were most intimate in another way, because they were sent away from, don't be with me in Puri, go away to Vrindavan. That is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is living in Puri, worshipping Vrindavan. So you go to Vrindavan. That's the place. That's our actual place of worship. Srila Prabhupada had said that Mayapur is his place of worship. So these are all relationships between Mayapur and Vrindavan. There are so many very deep topics. So Rupa Goswami, he is the leader of those who are intimately serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in separation from him, establishing his mission in the world, by personally living the lives of devotees and showing how that is, how persons on this plane can act in a manner to enter into the plane of Vrindavan, and also by writing many books, they established the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam, the Rupa Goswami revealed the intimate desires of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's generally understood to mean that Rupa Goswami revealed the inner feelings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of Radharani. But our acharyas, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, have also given that this Chaitanya Manobhishtam, the heart's desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is another approach to that or understanding of that is priti vite ache jato nagaradi gram sabata prachar hoy bimorna, preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world. And that's another whole aspect which we won't get into today. So I'll finish there for today. If there are any questions, and you can ask. I just trying to discuss some of these topics because we should understand that we're going to start, or we start reading Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, and this is not specific to Gauriya Vaishnavas, that one should control the mind and senses. Actually, this first verse of Upadeshamrita, it's almost the same as certain verses from Mahabharata and other places. You'll find Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, and the verse is almost the same in Mahabharata, twice. To be a brahmana, to be a muni, but the controlling the mind and the senses of Gauriya Vaishnavas, it's for a different, on a different aim altogether. It's not, it may appear to be something similar to yogis or mundane yogis or semi-spiritual yogis, but it's actually from the very beginning connected with the Antaranga Shakti, the internal potency of who is Radharani. So it's really on a different plane, although it may appear to be the same in many ways. Yeah, so are there any questions, please? Yeah. Do we have an extension mic? No. Okay, so please say and I'll repeat it. Yeah, your question is regarding mind control. Okay, ask the question. I may not answer it because a lot of the rest of this preface is Prabhupada, I think three times after this, mentions about controlling the mind and senses in this preface.
I'm referring to the Bhagavad Gita where Prabhupada says that a spiritual advancement can be measured by how much one is filled with satisfaction being honored by others.
Yeah, in the Bhagavad Gita purport, Srila Prabhupada states that one's spiritual advancement can be measured by how much one is free from the desire to be honored by others.
Taking satisfaction
in being honored by others, yeah.
That's something to do with the mind.
Yes, that's something to do with the mind, yeah.
My question is, what's the difference between being recognized or honored by superiors for one's
What is the difference between recognized and honored by one's superiors and one is recognized and honored, one is recognized and blessed by one's superiors and for one's spiritual advancement and taking pleasure in one's so-called spiritual advancement, that others will honor me? That's a very good question. I've been considering this myself recently, some of these points. I've been meditating recently on one verse of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in which he says, Kanaka Kamani Patishta Bhagini Jai Chari Ache Sheto Vaishnav Shayana Shakta Shay Shuddha Bhakta Shangsara. What is that? Shangsara Tata Pai Parabha. Says one who is free from the desire for money and women and from the tigress of desire for honor, who has given these up, that is a Vaishnava. That's his definition of a Vaishnava. He is detached, he is unattached, he is a pure devotee. And such a person defeats material bondage. So this desire for honor everywhere we find in the Goswami writings, Raghunath Das Goswami. What is that? Pratishtha Chandali. He compares her to it. The desire for honor as being like a chandali. Means I guess you could say, in this context, we could say a very low class prostitute. Not even a high class prostitute. So, the desire to be recognized by one's superiors, the pure desire to be recognized by one's superiors, recognized by them so that one will be accepted by them for their service, that is very different from the desire to be recognized by one's equals or juniors and be praised by them. And one takes some mundane satisfaction in that. In fact, if one is recognized, one of the greatest ways to be recognized by superiors is to be, if one is ignored by them. Just like if one is an accepted member of an entourage, then they may come, if someone comes and you haven't seen them for a long time, oh hello, how are you, what are you, very nice to see you. But someone you see all the time, they just come in, they're doing some service and someone is absorbed in what they're doing and the superior is absorbed in what they're doing. And then the servant comes in and if the servant is completely recognized, then he won't even look up or say, well, what do you just by, he knows that without even looking, he knows, oh, this is the servant has come. So if the servant is ignored by the served, because of being so familiar, that is the highest acceptance, actually. Because if someone else comes in and say, oh, how are you? They'll expect some, it's natural to speak to them, recognize them. Another thing I was reading, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that in this Chaitanya Charitamrita, I haven't accepted anyone's likes or dislikes. I've just written the plain truth as it is. But on the other hand, he says that I'm just receiving the remnants which I've received from Raghunath Das Goswami and the others. So when he says that I'm not incorporating anyone's opinion in here, I didn't discuss this with various mundane scholars and see if it's acceptable to them. What I've received from my superior acharyas, I've taken what they have given me. And it's, you could say that Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's not written in a mundane neutral style. It's a highly polemic work. Even more so Chaitanya Bhagavat, which Vrindavan Das Thakur says, anyone who doesn't recognize Nityananda, I'll kick him on the head. So it's not exactly written in a neutral style to please everyone, but it's written to please the acharyas. So a devotee exists on the plane of pleasing the acharyas. He's not concerned with pleasing anyone else. If they are satisfied, then everything is complete and perfect. Of course, if one acts in a manner that is not conducive to the jivas recognizing the acharyas, that could also... Yeah, anyway, this point has to be understood contextually also. It's not that we... There may be some sensitivity to those who we are preaching to, but not compromise with their opinions. So a devotee lives on the platform of satisfying his gurus, that's all. It's a completely different platform from that of satisfying his own senses by trying to satisfy the senses and feelings of mundane people. They will be pleased, they will praise me, then I will be pleased. But the platform of pleasing one's acharyas is a completely different platform. It's the difference between lust and love. When one can know that he is qualified to read confidential pastimes of Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani, and I can't understand the rest of what the writing is. When can we understand that we are qualified to read these things? Well, first verse of Upadeshamrita is a good start. One's guru will tell them. If there's any doubt, then don't. That's all. Actually, this question is answered later in the preface. One must promote himself to the platform of goodness, sattva gun, by following the instructions of Rupa Goswami, and then everything concerning how to make further progress will be revealed. Now you may say, well, how do I know if I'm on the platform of sattva gun or not? If you're asking that question, you're not on the platform of sattva gun. Because sattvam sanjayate jnanam. Sattva gun gives rise to knowledge. So if you're asking this question, then take the piece of paper back, fold it up, and keep it with you. Keep it with you means don't throw it away. We are meant for reading those books. But keep it with you. And when you don't have to open it up and answer this question, then you can take out the books of the intimate pastimes. Hare Krishna. Yeah, please answer. Actually, writing down is a good system because you can ask now, but then I have to listen and then say again, and it's more time consuming. I'll make this the last question.
While we are chanting, trying to serve, what should be our mood?
When we are chanting and trying to serve, what should be our mood? Uddhava said he wanted to be a grass in Vrindavan.
And should it be this or should it be serving?
Should it be this or should it be serving?
Or should it be like a manju?
Well, when Uddhava was trying to be a grass in Vrindavan, it wasn't that he was not wanting to be serving. He was serving in a specific capacity. He didn't want to be a grass so that he could prick the gopis' feet, but so that he could provide a soft platform there for their feet. And also get their blessing so that he can continue. His specific service is as Uddhava in Dwaraka. So the mood is one of service, praying for service. Srila Prabhupada gave us the translation of the Maha Mantra, O Krishna, O energy of Krishna, please engage me in your service. And you may think, well, this is a very basic prayer. We can go more advanced than that. We cannot go more advanced than that. Because it is our position as a jiva to serve. So simply praying for service, that's all. You'll find the topmost prayers of the devotees at the highest level, they're prayers for service. Of course, they may have a desire for a specific service. But as is stated here again, I'll read what I just read again. One must promote himself to the platform of goodness, Satvagun, by following the instructions of Rupa Goswami, and then everything concerning how to make further progress will be revealed. This is a very good quote for all those who wonder about how am I ever going to join the Ras Leela. Maybe I have to start cultivating Gopi Bhav now. So yes, the answer is, anyway, we'll discuss this more. The answer is yes, cultivate Gopi Bhav now. Gopi Bhav means service. So we didn't come to this line yet. Maybe we'll reach it this year. I did half a sentence today. So we're making some progress.